Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 77 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new video game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Kraus.
Been a while since I've had to make sure everything's working, you know?
Yeah, Eric, this is the first podcast we've done in, what, 3 weeks that has been in person?
Yep.
Not because we've decided to stop social distancing, it's because I have moved back in.
You are homeless, so yeah. You need somewhere to stay. I graciously let you stay in my apartment.
Yeah, in our apartment that I also pay half the rent
my
for.
My apartment, yep.
your apartment that I pay half the rent for.
Yes, exactly. I figured you could stay here for a little bit.
Yeah, it feels good to be back. I'm excited to just have all of my stuff in one place again.
Yeah. Man. How much money do you think you're going to save on gas because you don't have to drive back and forth?
A lot of money. I'm not driving anywhere. But also, do you know gas is so cheap now?
Yeah, I was driving the other day. Saw it for $1.12 a gallon. Insane.
Yeah, I filled up my car for $15.
The thing was, I didn't notice it was at $1.12. I just was like, whatever, gas is gas. You have to get it, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't really ever look at the price. And I thought something happened to my car because the pump stopped and it only said $15.
Oh, that's really funny.
And I was like, what happened? And so like I did the thing where you like pump a little more and like it rejects it. I'm like, is my car full? Only $50? And I looked at like the actual amount of like gas in your car. I'm like, yeah, it's full, sure enough.
What a pleasant surprise. Yeah. That's a good kind of surprise.
It is great.
Eric, what have you been playing?
I've just been playing Monster Hunter, dude. I'm obsessed with this game.
Really? You just keep playing it?
Like... Yeah. Well, before we did the podcast, I hadn't gotten Iceborne yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was basically getting my brother caught up to my hunter rank. And like doing just endgame stuff. And so where I was at when we did the podcast was like, I was just at the top of the end game in base Monster Hunter World.
Okay.
And so we just got Iceborne and now it's just like,
yeah, now you have a whole other game.
It's pretty much Iceborne is literally just another, it's Monster Hunter 2, but like only $40 in Monster Hunter World.
You played any Animal Crossing?
No, I'm pretty much off the bandwagon.
I've jumped in a couple times for like 20 to 30 minutes, which I kind of feel like is the way the game is meant to be played. You know, like I'm like chilling now, you know,
yeah.
I'm just doing a little bit of things every day. Not every day, actually. I've been taking breaks and stuff, you know, but I have a feeling, I'm going to keep playing.
My thing is like, I could just go and do a hunt, you know?
Yeah, you can just keep playing. You can keep killing monsters.
Yeah, I just do another hunt. I don't need to jump into Animal Crossing.
Hell yeah. Eric, I've also been playing a little game called Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Game of the show! We're talking about Ori and the Will of the Wisps. So, Eric, I knew this game was coming out. They've been making this game for, what, 3 years? It's been a couple of years since old Ori and the Blind Forest came out.
Sure.
I just played Ori and the Blind Forest this year. We talked about it, a podcast a month and a half ago, something like that. And I really liked it, right? I liked Ori and the Blind Forest. I thought it was very good. I was going into this game expecting it to be Ori and the Blind Forest
2.
Essentially, yes. I thought it was going to be everything that game was, but just expanded and improved upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was actually a game that I think, and I tweeted a little bit about this, that I think it improves on almost every aspect of Ori and the Blind Forest. And also, I think that it totally breaks form in a lot of ways that were surprising and like actually very cool to see. And we can talk about that more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I just think that Ori the Will of the Wisps is like the best version of what this kind of, not, you know, this kind of game, Metroidvanias in general, but like of Ori, like it feels like the fully realized version of Ori and the Blind Forest, which I really, cool. I really like. I highly recommend you play it if you can. It's so good, dude.
Do I need to play the first one?
No, that's the thing. I don't really think you need to.
Well, that's good.
And because I mean it has a story, and I think that the story is very good actually, and hits emotionally, and there's a lot of like, you know, we'll talk about it later, but I think that the ending has like a big punch to it. It's really good. It affected me more than I thought it would. You pretty much get the gist right from the beginning, and you could probably read or watch a tiny YouTube video to get up to speed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So now I want to talk about the ways in which I think this game is a vast improvement on Ori and the Blind Forest, right? So it's still a Metroidvania, you know, you're exploring the map, finding all these secrets and crannies, getting upgrades, you know, getting to new parts of the map, all that stuff. But Ori and the Blind Forest had combat, right? And the combat was, you had this little forest light sprite thing, right? It's like Navi from Legend of Zelda. it talked to you, and it was kind of your source of like fighting. It would like shoot out these, you know, lightning things, and it was sort of you had to be like kind of a certain distance from them, and then even then it was kind of just mashing X and it would do the thing, and it wasn't very fun and it wasn't very precise. In this game, that mechanic is totally gone, and there is a higher emphasis on combat and like a billion more options. So right away you get this like cool ass energy sword thing that is kind of like your main attack, but you have this whole wheel that you can unlock of different combat moves. I didn't even like, you have to buy some of them from like the little shop guy.
Tom Nook.
He's like a monkey. Oh, okay. Anyways, and
Tom Nook in a monkey costume.
Yeah, and so I feel like legitimately there are like builds that you could go through this game playing. Like you're like, oh, I don't want to use the lightning sword or the light sword thing. I want to use like this, the arrows and this cool like ninja star looking thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of really drastically changes the way that you do combat. And there's also this like larger focus on like these boss fights, right? In Ori and the Blind Forest, there were like a couple, and they were never. I'm stuttering a lot. The deal in that game was a lot more like chase scenes, right? You know, you're kind of running away from something chasing you, and maybe you'd have to fight it a little bit. But this game has these like crazy multi-part boss battles that were actually super fucking hard. And we can talk about that later, but they're also like crazy and super fun and feel like you have to like get good at them. I was surprised. I didn't expect this game to be like super hard. I didn't have like a ton of problems with Ori and the Blind Forest, but I had like some huge stopping points of difficulty in this game.
Is there a difficulty setting or is it just...
Yeah, it's easy, medium, and hard. I played on... Or normal or whatever. I played on normal. And there's this one boss, Eric. And I'm going to talk about it right now.
Okay.
And there's this boss. It's a big spider, right? And I didn't really see it coming, right? I was like, oh, there's going to be a spider or whatever. And the spider comes in. And then I was like, oh, it's like a full boss fight thing, right? I spent probably, accumulatively, 3 to 4 hours fighting this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I probably tried 65 times total, Eric.
How long's the encounter?
Yeah. Well, it's multi-part, right? So there's only three checkpoints. So there's the kind of first part, right, where you have to like fight the spider and the stage kind of opens up a little bit and you need to get the spider down to like half health. Then the spider freaks out. There's another chase scene. That's a checkpoint, right? You get to the chase scene. There's a second kind of area that you need to fight the spider in. And both times, dude, like the first part of the fight took me a good 2 hours and the second part of the fight took me even longer. It was so hard. It was one of those things too, where I even like knew everything that was going to happen, right? I'm like, all right, he's going to shoot the ball, like the balls at me. I need to shoot them back at him. And then, you know, he's going to go in for the kill or whatever. And it's just, it was so frustrating, dude. And I didn't feel like underleveled or anything, right? Like you can go and get all the energy orbs and the health orbs and stuff, but it was so frustrating.
Is it just like a muscle eye coordination kind of thing?
It's just kind of a coordination, dodging around, getting in a few hits, you know, coming mm-hmm. like getting out of there
and just like reading his movements.
Yeah, he's coming up and he's rising to smash down, so you need to dodge under him to get over there. And also a lot of your moves take like energy, right? So the two kind of meters that you have are like your health and like your mana. Mm-hmm. And so you need to constantly be like hitting these crystals that are kind of spawning around the arena to like refill your energy so you can use your cool moves. Oh my God, Eric, it was so frustrating. And then I get past it, right? I get past the spider. I'm so relieved, dude. I keep going. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm enjoying this game again. I get to another boss fight. That boss fight's super hard, but it's like a little bit more manageable, mm-hmm. right? And I get through it. It takes maybe an hour or two. I'm coming out of that area. It's like a big water area, right? And the game is trying to like kind of load the next section of the area, and Ori kind of clips through the map. And I'm like, oh, fuck me, dude. And so I quit the game. I quit the application. I'm like, all right, I'll just open it up. It'll probably be fine, right? I come back in, and now Ori is just kind of infinitely like spawning outside of the map, and I can't do anything. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. And so I go and like look at my save, and the game backs up like 10 saves before, because I guess, you know, they assume stuff can happen and you might have to go backwards. And so I load it, right? And this should be 2 minutes like beforehand, right? Before I get to that point, I'm like, oh cool, I'm back, everything's fine, I go through the area, no problem. And then I look at my map and I'm like, why is the objective thing over there still? I already did that. that was the spider.
Yeah.
And I go back over that. I'm like, oh, maybe I just forgot to, like, I beat the spider. Maybe I just, like, forgot to pick up, you know, the quest item or whatever, yeah. Right? And I go back and the spider comes out. I'm like, what? I have to do it again? I've never been so frustrated, Eric. I was livid. I was so mad. And I was so tilted that it took me even like another 2 hours to beat the spider.
So you did it all the same day. I was surprised you just put down. That kind of thing is something that I'd be done with the game.
Yeah, I know. I thought about it. I was like, am I done with this game, dude? But I was like, here's the thing, Eric. I really was enjoying everything. Even the boss fight that I had to do, like the spider fight before, it was so frustrating and hard, but it always felt like cool and like, oh man, I'm gonna get through this every time. I'm learning something a little new. Yeah, right? And then I had to do it again, and it was just so demoralizing, dude. I was like, I don't want to be here. I just want this stupid thing to be dead. And yeah, and I mean, I was like a little bit more leveled up too at this point. I had like more health bar and whatever, and so it wasn't as hard. But again, it took me another 2 hours. I was so mad. And I later in the show, you know, we do our hot topic. I want to talk about game bugs and glitches that you've run into that have been frustrating. Easily my number one. I've never been so angry at a game.
Yeah, that is awful.
Because it was just out of my control. There was nothing I can do. I'm like, why would the game think that I didn't do this thing if I only reloaded a save that was like 2 minutes prior? Everything I had done after that was saved.
Yeah, I guess it must have just not saved at that point. So it didn't like register a checkpoint. I don't know.
I don't know. It was weird. Who knows? Games are weird.
Yep.
But that doesn't detract. I think the game's so perfect. And so I went through, right, and I played through the rest of it. And the game's, like, much longer than I thought it was. I think it took me, and granted, a lot of this was me just retrying things that were hard for me. The game took me probably 20 to 25 hours. So it's a pretty hefty chunk of game, you know? One second. Eric got up to do something. He's coming back right now. Everything good, Eric?
Yeah, Origin is just the dumbest fucking thing ever, and it always constantly tries to install updates, even though I haven't ran the Origin launcher in a year. Probably more than that. I think I downloaded the Origin launcher when Anthem was coming out, and that's the last time I used it.
Having a computer seems so much fun.
Don't you want it?
I do. I've been actually, this is sort of a tangent, but I've been like obsessively researching PCs and like PC builds and like what I can get for specific dollar amounts. And I've gone too deep, dude. I'm ready. I like want one right now.
Well, too bad I don't have anybody.
Yeah, because I'm gonna buy like some of your PC parts from you, and then just kind of build on it from there. Like get a couple things, and then I'll be set. But oh man, I want one really bad. Anyways, back to Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Another way that I think that the game improves upon Ori and the Blind Forest is that it kind of just sort of ditches a lot of the mechanics from that game that like didn't work that well. Like there was this this function, and we talked about it in that episode, was in Ori and the Blind Forest, you had to kind of use some of your energy to create save points. So you'd like do a hard thing and then like save right there. And then, you know, so you could, it was kind of a weird thing. Like you had to create your own save points, and it was kind of odd. And I think I said I liked it at the time, but I don't think I do.
Now playing it without
Now playing without it, I'm like, this is much better, right? You get through the part and then it saves the game. And then, you know, if you die, you're good. So it totally ditches that. And there are some like move sets, because you know in Metroidvanias, like you kind of get all the moves, right? And then the next game, there's like usually a reason why you don't have all the moves, and then you kind of slowly get those moves again and then some additional ones.
Yeah.
That the game pretty quickly gets you back up to like where you were at the end of Ori and the Blind Forest, but they just sort of get rid of some of the moves that maybe weren't as fun. Like there was like a downward bash where you just like go straight down, and it was fine, and so it just doesn't appear in this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like there weren't that many things in the first game anyway in terms of fighting.
Yeah, no, there really weren't. And so this game adds, you know, all these different like weapon kind of things, but also there are just a tons of different ways that you move around the map now. So the really cool thing I thought about Ori and the Blind Forest was that there's this move called Bash, which allows you to kind of move through enemy projectiles or like lights and stuff to kind of project yourself like into a certain direction, right? And so that was where a lot of the game's like hard like parkour platforming came from. And this game like keeps that, and it's super fun. I still think that's like one of the most exciting things about these games is that mechanic, because it's so much fun to do. But then they also add like there's a lot more underwater stuff, and so you're like, you know, dashing underwater and doing all that cool stuff and coming out of the water really quickly and then doing it. And you can now move through like sand. There's all these like sand pits, and you can like move through them, like dig tunnel through them and then come out of them really fast. And like there'll be these like tiny platforms made of sand, and you can use those to platform as well. And so by the end of the game, you're like in the air for long stretches of time, just kind of like dashing through different things and grabbing, you know, grappling certain things. And it's super, super fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Is the map like broken up into sections then? Like with different, like these obstacles are kind of set for a certain area.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in classic Metroidvania fashion, it's like, there's this whole area over here that's all sand pits and I can't get over there. I'm like, why can't I get over there? Right. There's the sand. And then you get the ability, and now you uncover this whole part of the map, right? And the map is giant, dude. This is like one of the biggest Metroidvanias I've ever played. And again, you know, I don't play a lot of these games, so take that with a grain of salt, right? But it's huge. And the game, like I said, is so long, dude. It feels like super distinct, and in a lot of the, you even move around those areas a lot differently, right? Like, you have this ability to kind of float. And so certain areas of the map, you're just like floating around the map. And a lot of it's like underwater, or there's like the, you know, the cool sand pit areas. So yeah, it's classic Metroidvania, kind of different like sections of the map, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to talk about is this game has a lot more like characters, and there's even like a little town, like village that you discover called the Glades. And you go there, and there's all these like little cat dudes called Moki, and there's a dude, he's like the last of his species, basically. He's a Gorlek. And you kind of gather resources throughout the map and like bring them to this village, and like the Gorlek dude like helps build it. And so you get this kind of nice sense of like progression throughout the game of building up this cool little village and talking to all your people, and like more people move in, and like areas of that town kind of open up as you like, you know, improve it. It's really cool. Yeah. So the game, very dope.
Do you like buy things from them too?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so there are like dudes that are kind of scattered around the map, and they'll always kind of appear at certain places because the map's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy, you know, like different combat stuff. Like I said, there were some moves that I just straight up didn't buy from the guy because I had kind of already gotten my like loadout. And there's these things called shards, which kind of you can equip them or unequip them. You usually get like 3 slots or whatever, and you can unlock more. And they'll be just buffs like... you can take 10% less damage, but some of them actually do like drastically different things. There was one that like Ori sticks to walls, which is really, really good for combat scenarios usually, because you can kind of climb walls, but then you could just like stay there. You could just kind of perch there, and that's really useful if you're trying to like dodge things and be more precise about it. There's just things for gaining extra life, all that good stuff. So the shards are cool too, to make it more customizable the way you want to play. A lot of the issues I had with the game were sort of things that I think a lot of Metroidvanias run into, where I'm just like, can I not do this thing because I don't have the upgrade or the ability to do it? Or can I not do it because I'm just not good enough at the game?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was a situation I ran into in the like water area that was super like this, where there was I would swim under this thing, and these giant like rocks would fall. And I kept just thinking that I needed to hit it at a certain speed and angle to like get under them. And I'm like, there's just no way, dude. The problem was I couldn't find another path either. And so then I just had to like do this crazy experimentation with like, there's all these bubbles that would rise, and you have to like kind of jump off them. And I had to do this crazy like platforming thing that I didn't even think was possible. And I finally got it. I was like, oh, I just needed to come up here.
Yeah.
Right. And so then I was like, that was like another 40-minute gap stop thing where I'm like, I just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally tried to refrain from looking up anything. And I actually didn't. In the first game, I ended up looking like 2 things, cause I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Where do I go? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in this game, I always figured it out, but I just ran into a couple things like that where it's like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do right here? And then it turns out, you know, you just don't have the ability, right?
See, you're saying that's a bad thing. I think that's a cool thing.
I think that's
like the whole reward, is you spent all your time beating your head against this wall. And you're like, oh, I'm an idiot. I could have just done it like this.
But I think that there are sections where that's super clear, right? Where it's like, oh, there's the wall. I can't get through the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sections where it's like, I just don't know if I'm doing this wrong, you know what I mean? And that's super frustrating. And there was another part towards the end where there's this big boss chasing you, right? And the game wanted me to like hide behind things. And the problem I ran into is that the game is like this 2.5D, right? You're moving on a 2D scale, but there's like a 3D world, right? And I kept getting caught because I'm like, where the hell am I supposed to hide? And there was like this pole, and I just didn't realize that behind the pole was like a like a big sheet thing, right?
Oh, okay.
And so I guess I just didn't think that that sheet had any consequence because it wasn't present like on the plane that I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally figured out, I'm like, oh, why isn't he coming after me now? And it was because I was like hiding behind it. And so, it wasn't very visually clear. And also just like the 2.5D thing kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So just stuff like that, right? But overall, dude, like I got towards the latter half of this game and I played through a ton of it yesterday because I was trying to beat it for this podcast. And I was super blown away. I think that just there's like all these bosses in the game that are super cool, and like they're always these giant animals, right? Like a giant owl or a big worm or whatever. And in the first game, there's really just like one. There's like this big owl, and he's the whole kind of antagonist of the game. And in this game, there's like another kind of big bird. But then there's also all these like giant wolf and giant like bear and all this stuff, and it's super cool. You feel so tiny because you're just a tiny spirit, and it really has this like awesome sense of scale, and they always end up chasing you, and it's always like gets your heart pumping, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What else do I have to say about Ori?
You mentioned a boss, your end boss fight.
Do
you want to get into that?
My end boss fight?
Yeah, you said something, you're gonna get into it later about the last boss or something like that.
Oh yeah. So I mean, I guess do you want to do like spoilery stuff? Do you ever want to play this game, Aaron? Because it really is very good.
Well, I mean, if you said the story doesn't really matter, right?
It does. It does. It has some consequence. I'm saying like you don't really have to play the first game to get the experience, right? But I can actually set up the story of the game, right? You open the game and it kind of picks off right where the end of the first game ends, which is you are kind of hanging out with this big dude named Nomu. He's kind of your friend, and this other like long legged dude. I don't really remember his name. And you guys have this like baby owl, because in the first game the big bad is a big old owl, right?
Probably bad because you stole his child.
No, literally, and
You're a monster.
At the end of the thing, it turns out that the owl is like super angry and mad because a thing that happened like killed a bunch of its kids or whatever, and so it's just like
so
angry.
You stole
no, and the bird dies, and so then and okay. So then you know the bird is a tragic figure, and you take its last child and like raise it, right?
Okay,
and so the bird's name is the little bird's name is Ku, right? And you're hanging out with Ku, and you know there's all these cute scenes like them raising Ku and going to get eat fruit and stuff, and Ku's like, I don't like the fruit, and you have to like help him eat worms or whatever. And then he can't fly because one of his wings is kind of messed up. And so there's an item from the first game called Karu's feather, and you still have it. You go dig it out, and you're like, you can use this, and they attach it to his wing, and then you go with Ku, Ori and Ku go and they do like a flying thing, right? And then a bad storm hits. And they both get like thrown out into the world, right? And so now your whole goal is to find Ku, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the initial setup for the game, is that you're trying to find your little owl friend.
Cool.
And it's super cool, and it that actually like you find the owl like spoilers or whatever for the game, right? We're gonna get into some spoilery stuff. Again, it doesn't really matter in these games, right? It's more about like the gameplay and exploring the map, right? But you go and you find Ku. And there's also this like giant bird that kind of looks like a messed up owl that's been like chasing you and stuff. And he like hits the little owl Ku and like almost kills it. And now the thing is
it's Ku's brother.
Now the thing it's not. But no. Now the thing is that you have to like go and find these like they're called like lights of the forest. So it's like the forest's memory and the forest's like strength and stuff. And these are in like different parts of the map. Because once you have them all, you should have enough like light to restore the life to this little owl, right? And you go and do all that, and that's super cool. And then the last fight obviously is against this big owl bird thing. It's really creepy, dude. It's got like these giant. It's like it's got like its wings, but the way it walks around is it's got these two giant. I don't know what to call them. Like you know what like
talons?
No. You know what?
Legs.
You know, like a mantis, like a praying mantis. You know what they kind of walk on?
Legs,
yeah, like weird spooky bug legs.
Yeah,
that's okay. Kind of what it had. It was like walking around on its weird spooky bug legs.
Got it.
And this thing's really spooky, right? And so kind of going along with this game, you kind of like find out that this creature is also like this tragic thing where it kind of looks like an owl and all of its species had like died out, and it tried to like go insert itself into the owls, but the owls hated it, and so it's like, oh, I'm a mad angry thing now, right? And so it's like also this like really tragic figure. And there's this like super gutting scene, dude, where you end up like fighting it, and it's like the final boss, right? And you go and it's like dead, and you see it, it's like dying, and it curls up. There's this area that's all like dust, and it's like this super dark area they call it, like the Silent Woods, and it there's all these like husks kind of its old species, and it kind of curls up under it like it's like longing for its family, and just fucking dies, dude. It was like, ugh, like super gutting and sad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in the scheme, in like, I just think there's a lot of these like themes in this game and in the previous game of like these like misunderstood creatures who are like bad, but for kind of, you know, reasons, which I think it just, you know, at least they try to go past like, oh, big bad monster, right?
Yeah, exactly. And a little bit more metaphor to it.
Yeah. And even in this game too, with like all the other bosses, none of them are like, bad. They're all just like possessed by like the darkness or whatever. So you like, you know, you free the, you defeat the spider, and now the spider's like, oh man, thank you for freeing me. You know, now take the stuff and get, you know, get out of here, little scamp. Basically, mm-hmm. That kind of thing, right? I thought that was cool. It's like it's all kind of got this like wholesome edge to it, right? Where it's like, we're all friends, and I'm just trying to like help out the world instead of like, I'm gonna fucking murder these monsters and make a hat, Eric.
Yeah. Well, to each their own.
Yeah. See, Eric, I saved the monsters.
You know how many hats though I have?
A lot of hats, I bet.
Got a lot of hats.
Yeah, I don't know, man. See, are you sold? Do you want to play this game at all? It's so good, Eric. And it's so tight.
I do want to play it because I love Metroidvanias. The problem is I've played Monster Hunter. But I will probably play this one at some point because it's free, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, and I totally missed my chance to cancel that, so I've already paid for it again.
Oh, that's funny.
So, but yeah, I think I'll play for it. I play it. I want to jump into it because, like, I love Hollow Knight, obviously, as everyone who watches or listens to this show knows. So, like, this game sounds just like right up my alley.
Yeah.
It sounds very much like Hollow Knight in the same vein. So
yeah, I think Hollow Knight is much more boss focused, right? And there's a lot of like that game's combat is like insanely crisp, right? And, mm-hmm. and that game's really, and I think the environment in that game's super cool, just the whole thing that you're like a bug. I think that this game is equally as like stunning visually. It's so, every fucking frame looks like a painting, dude. It's so pretty. Wow, so colorful.
That would be a good name for a YouTube channel.
Every frame a painting.
Yeah,
I actually had that same thought. Isn't that funny?
Because you know it's an actual YouTube channel.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. You didn't. Oh, get the
I didn't
joke.
Know. I thought you were serious. I'm an idiot. Is no, that a real YouTube?
It's a
channel?
Real YouTube channel.
Every frame a painting.
Yeah.
Oh god damn it! Because that's a good name.
Is it? Yeah. That's why I think that's why he chose it.
I've never heard of this YouTube channel.
Oh, it's a very good YouTube channel. He does like video essays on cinematography.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Anyways, yeah, so every frame of this game is like a painting. It's so pretty. And I think that the combat in this one is stellar. It's like super good. I think that the first game really had like a lot of cool movement stuff down, like moving around the world is fun, and it had like this cool art style, and Ori himself felt really small and like insignificant, but like very like tight movements, right? I thought. And then this game takes that and it makes the combat just really good and really, really stellar. Apparently, people say you can beat it in less than... There's an achievement for beating it in less than 4 hours. I don't think it... People say if you just play the game normally and just don't do any side stuff, you should be able to beat it in 4 hours, which I think's nuts because, again, it took me, like, 20.
Dang. Well, I guess if you do the one... You'd spend only... Do one try on each boss if you're that good.
Yeah, well, there are achievements, too, for not getting any damage. You have to complete the whole game without getting any damage.
That sounds impossible.
And, like, beat all the bosses without getting damage.
That sounds difficult. Well, I guess if you beat it in 4 hours...
You can kind of save scum,
yeah, how many bosses do you have to fight, then?
Let me think. There are...
Like, main bosses.
Three.
Oh, that's not...
There's like three main bosses.
Ah, but can you imagine just like being on the last boss and you get hit? You have to start all over
again, Eric. Again, you could save scum, so you could have a save and just go back, right? Each one took me at least 15 tries, and the hard ones a lot more.
Yeah, well, you practice them, you can do them.
Yeah, I actually thought the last boss for some reason was less hard than any of the other ones. Like, for some reason, you know, you'd think it was supposed to be, like...
Well, because, I mean, the side bosses and stuff make you better at the game. So, by the time you get back to the last boss...
Yeah, I think maybe it's just at that point I just had all these upgrades and, like, ways to heal myself.
I feel like that's how most games are. The last boss is usually a chump because you're usually decked out.
Yeah, that's fair. yeah, man, what else do I have to say? I think that the world's super lived in. Like I said, there's all these Moki, and there's all these like side quest stuff that I actually am going to jump back into the game, I think, and play more. Because it's a lot of like fetch questy stuff where someone's like, oh, man, I really wish I had a drink of water, right? And you're like, oh, I don't have any water, but I'm sure I could get some.
Sure, go find some.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's kind of like a Link's Awakening, you know, where you're like swapping items. And so someone gives you something, and you have to find someone who needs it, and then they'll give you something. And so I think I'm going to jump back in and do some of that stuff. There's all these like speed trials I was doing yesterday where, you know, you need to get from point A to point B in a super like tight, you know, 25 seconds or whatever. There's combat challenges that I thought were super fun. Yeah, man, this game's dope.
Tweet.
A lot of cool puzzles, too. Like stuff that I was like, I'm not even sure if this could work. And then you do it and you're like, oh, man, I can't believe that worked. And it was so hard, but it's so cool. There's this whole snow area. And the snow area, for some reason, is the one that doesn't have a boss, which I thought was weird. But you go through the snow area, and the whole thing is that there's all these like fire pits, and you can kind of like throw these fireballs, and then you have to catch up to it and throw it again and keep doing that until you need to get to like a certain point. And so you're kind of juggling this thing. Super tough. I wasn't even sure if it would work, and I did it, and I was so pumped.
Do you think there's probably an easier way to do it?
No, I really do. I think that's the way you have to do it.
Oh.
And maybe if you're just better at the game, it wouldn't be as hard. But.
Yeah, you just throw it farther and run farther or something.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say is that I think that each new kind of upgrade you get not only makes it easy to move around the area you're in, but it also just makes moving around the world easier. So I figured out that like towards the end of the game, you literally just get this ability where you can throw, like, instead of using the bash to kind of project yourself, you can just project yourself into an area. So then you can do the thing where you use the projectile, then you bash up farther. You can do insanely high and far jumps. It's so cool. Nice. Yeah. And so the only thing I will say is the game's really tough. I mean, sure, if you're like super MLG hardcore gamer, maybe this is like a breeze for you, right? But,
yeah.
But I think that if you're like sort of averse to that, you know, super tough gameplay, maybe this one's not for you. Although I hadn't played it on easy, maybe it would be fine then.
Yeah.
All right, Eric. We have a segment, and it's called Hot Topics, where we bring you a hot topic, sizzling and smoky, straight from the Idea Grill.
Okay.
And today, <Yep. laughs> today I want to talk about bugs. And not your Hollow Knight, you know, little beetles and stuff, right? Or caterpillars, centipedes. Centipedes, fucking scary, I will say.
Fucking, have you seen a millipede? That yeah. Shit's a nightmare.
Nightmare fuel. I want to talk about game bugs, glitches, I don't know what else you call them. Goofs, whatever. Goofs. And I just want to know, Eric, some infamous bugs, something that made you so upset or something that you thought was hilarious. Like stuff you've run into, because, you know, we play games. Games aren't perfect. Sometimes they break, and sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it fucking sucks.
So the first one I thought of while you kind of mentioned this was, it happened just recently. My friend Jake and I started playing Remnant again. This was like last month or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we got pretty hot and heavy into it, and we eventually beat. So with Remnant, you have to do you kind of like scale up your difficulty as you go so that you can get better stuff, you know, and so that like the game will scale with you. And so we switched over to like the harder difficulty, and we were fighting this boss called the Ent, which is this giant tree monster.
Ah, from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, basically, actually, except for he like shoots stuff out, like these like fungus bombs out his back at you.
Okay.
And he'll also like stomp and like do all this stuff. And you basically just have to run around him in a circle and shoot him. And then when he goes down to do this thing where he shoots out his back, you can shoot that spot where you're shooting from because it's a critical hit.
Okay.
And so, but you also have to dodge the things that he's shooting at you. So it's kind of like, it's a test of skill to be able to dodge and shoot at the same time, basically. And so we were just beating our heads against this boss, basically, because we just kept like losing to him over and over again, because he just like ends up... By the end of his fight, he's spawning adds that you have to fight. He's shooting at you. He's stomping. He's doing all these things that you have to deal with while also doing damage to him. And, like, we weren't, like, at a high enough build to just, like, just straight burn through him in one go. And so it's, like, we just kept beating our heads against this boss, like, so much. Like, we fought him at least 20 times. And then we came back one day and we were playing him. We probably did it 3 or 4 times. And then, like, the fifth time... Or the sixth time, whatever, I don't remember. Like, we were getting super close. We were just about to beat him, and our games crashed.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. Oof. And then we're like, well, we're done. We haven't played Remnant since then.
You know, it's I do have a bunch of stories to tell. One of the things I forgot to mention about Ori and the Will of the Wisps, since you mentioned it, the game does not run super, super well on Xbox One.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of like hitches, a lot of that kind of thing where I was like, not like clipping through the map or like that kind of thing, but a lot of like, oh man, is the game about to crash, and kind of stuff like that. I didn't have any like hard crashes, but there were a couple like stoppy gap stuff.
Yeah.
The game just didn't run super well.
Hmm.
But the earliest I think I can remember running into this sort of thing, I was super excited for Assassin's Creed 3, right?
I was also thinking of Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, right? And and that game, I think, was actually notoriously, like, a little buggy.
Yeah.
It came out, and I had the flu. So, I got it, and then, like, 2 days later, I got the flu. So, I was home from school. And so, basically, all I was doing was, like, sleeping, drinking Gatorade, vomiting, and, like, playing Assassin's Creed 3, right?
The dream.
Yeah, the dream. And so I'm playing it, and I really like that game. Still to this day, I haven't like revisited it, but I remember that game much more fondly than everyone else, apparently. And I beat it, and it was one of those things where I'm like, I don't want to be done with this game yet, right? I'm gonna try to, I never was an achievement hunter or a trophy guy or anything like that. But I'm like, I'm gonna try to 100% this game, because I at the time, like, my friend Adam and like a lot of my other friends on Xbox were like doing this kind of achievement hunting stuff. So I'm like, I'm gonna 100% this game, right? And I did all the side stuff. I hunted all the animals. I did all that stuff. There was like an achievement where you had to kill every enemy with every different type of weapon. So you had to kill every type of enemy with every different, every type of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and did that, and it just didn't work. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, the trophies glitch, or the achievements glitch. They'll probably patch it at some point. I'm like, fuck that. All right. And so I'm like, I tried to do some other stuff. Another one where I think it was that you had to complete all of the Fight Club missions or whatever. There's like this whole Fight Club, and you do these hand-to-hand combat things. And I did them all. And again, the trophy or the achievement didn't pop. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this game? And so I literally did everything I possibly could in that game. I felt like, and it, I just didn't, I never got like those ones, because the game just wouldn't, like, the progression wouldn't click with the achievement and make it pop. So frustrating, dude.
Well, sticking with trophies, I'll do what I was trying to get, the Batman Arkham City trophy. And that trophy sucks, because you have to go through and do like 300 Riddler trophies, like the stupid Riddler puzzles. And so basically what I did was I just sat with my laptop on PS4 trophies, the YouTube channel, and just went through each video and would get all the things. I didn't even care. Like, at this point, I just wanted the trophy because I really love this game, but I didn't care enough to figure out each of these puzzles.
Yeah, that always seemed like a pain in the ass.
I was like, this isn't fun to like figure these out. So I'm like, I'm just going to sit here with a video guide and do all of them. So I went through, did all the 300 trophies. The Riddler trophies, Pop Bat trophy, sweet. The hard part is done. I went, did all the side quests, did everything else, and I got 100%. In my game, I had, like, when you, like, hit your load, right, it says 100%. But I don't have all the trophies because a crime never happened. Because there's, like, random crimes that will happen without in Arkham City that you have to go and stop. And I needed one more crime to randomly happen. And it never did. There'd be days where I'd just get on and I'd fly, like, glide around the city, just back and forth, waiting for this random crime to pop up, and it never popped up, and I was so angry.
Oh, man. Another one, and I remember this, like, sucking at the time, but I did it anyways because I had just started Skyrim, and I got up to the point where you get, you know, when you like discover you're like the dragonborn or whatever, and you get like one of the dragon powers that's like a quick dodge kind of thing forward, and you have to like dodge through a thing like a portal or whatever on the top of this mountain. And I did it, and then nothing like happened, and I'm like, what? And I did it again. I did it like a bunch of times. I'm like, nothing's happening, right? And so again, I like Google this. I'm like, I can't, the dude won't acknowledge that I've done the thing, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, it's broken. You need to just, like, restart the game. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? This is, like, pretty early in the game. I think it was, like, 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
And so I just, like, had to restart the game. And it was super annoying. Dude, there was stuff like that that'll happen that if I had, like, done that today, I'd just stop, probably. I'm like, fuck this, dude. I don't even like this game that much.
Yeah.
I never even beat Skyrim. I didn't, like, I played, like, maybe 15 hours of that game. So I wasn't worth, you know, restarting the whole game.
But yeah. This was not so much of a, like, kind of bug thing. It's just more poor optimization. So the PC version of the BioShock collection, or just not even just like the collection itself, but just all the BioShock games, except for Infinite, are just like poorly ported over to PC.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first BioShock game, I didn't realize, but like I until I had like till it became prevalent. So I played through the first BioShock because I love that game. One of my favorite games of all time. I think it's like what, number three on our list?
Yeah, something like that.
And so it's like I was playing through it. I'm like, man, I love this game. Played it on PC, so fluid with mouse and keyboard. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be done for the night. And I'm probably at least 3 or 4 hours in this part. I'm well into Rapture. I got like a bunch of the whatever they're called. I can't remember the. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just save and just go to bed for the night. And I hit save and my game crashes. I'm like, oh, motherfucker. No. And so I load it up and then my save's gone. And I'm like, okay, I love this game. I could do that beginning part again. The beginning part's awesome. And I play for like another hour. I save, the game crashes.
Oh my God.
And at this point, I'm like, you gotta be fucking. So I just load up the game. I try to save it. It crashes. And so, yep, if you try to save I never even tried for BioShock 2, but like if you tried to, whenever you save in the PC version, if you have like some thing with your PC, it'll just crash your game immediately and you can't even save.
Sounds so much fun.
Yeah, you could fix it, but I'm like, this is like, no, this yeah is, you have to go into the code and shit. I'm like, this isn't the fucking Matrix. I just want to play BioShock.
Have you ever intentionally tried to break a game for any reason?
No, I'm not really one of those people that will sit in like a corner and jump and like mash it to try to glitch into the space.
In middle school, as a lot of, you know, middle schoolers did, I was super into Call of Duty, and I don't even remember why we were doing this stuff, dude, but there were all these like videos in Modern Warfare 2 where you could like get outside of the map and stuff and like get to like ledges and shit that you like weren't supposed to be able to do. And we would just like, and it was all really hard. Like that was kind of the part. Mm-hmm. And so we would get together in these like private lobbies and like try to like break the game and get outside of the map and stuff. And I actually remember that being super fun. And there were like certain glitches that everyone would do in multiplayer games, so you could get outside of the map and like get a really good vantage point to be able to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as far as I can tell, that's like the only time I've ever like intentionally like tried to break a game. I know a lot of people do it for like speed runs and stuff, but I've never really gotten that into it. But I remember having a lot of fun just like, because you know, there's always like weird, I don't know what you call like the perimeter in a map or whatever, where you're like not supposed to be able to get out of it.
Yeah.
Where you could just like fucking, and it was like if you jump against it at this certain angle, it'll just break.
Yeah.
And so that was super fun.
In that same vein, in Destiny 1, there was a lot of cheeses you could do for raids. Mm. And so the Crota raid was notorious for all these types of cheeses that you could do, that you could basically do this 6-man raid solo. And so me and my friend Jake would always try to 2-man the raid and like do all these cheeses, especially because in Destiny 1, they had this sniper that would regenerate its own ammo after a certain amount of time. And so to get past one area, you basically had to generate this bridge. But to generate this bridge, you need people to stand on each plate and to kill these knights. But if you did it right, you could basically kill the knights on the plates on one side. Then you could climb up the geometry of the map to get to a really high point so that you could pull out the sniper to look across the way, snipe the knights on the other side because your ammo would regenerate so you wouldn't need to leave. And then one person could go down and get the sword and just hop their way across without even using the bridge.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So that was always like a really fun one that we'd always like do. And then Destiny also has just like a bunch of these awful things that happen to it, but there is, since you have emotes in Destiny 1, there is this Frankenstein emote where it moved your character forward because they'd pick up their foot, you know, and like do the Frankenstein walk, and so it'd move your character forward but keep you in the same spot, kind of like, I don't know, it had this weird thing. And so people would use the Frankenstein emote to walk outside the borders of the map.
Oh, okay.
And the game, because the emote like keeps you in the same spot, so the game would think you're still inside the map but you're actually physically outside the map. And so yeah,
I always like when stuff like that, not even like bugs or anything, but I love when you can kind of like trick a game a little bit into like making a boss or something super easy. Like, remember when we played Bloodborne and there were one of the huge things that we just could not fucking beat for some reason, whereas there was like the three hunters in like the chapel, and we would go and then we would basically just backpedal as quickly as possible, and one of them would eventually just kind of get stuck on a wall, and then you could deal with the other two, you know, more easily or whatever. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, we kill one and they're infinitely dead, and like, I just remember we tried to cheese that game so hard sometimes. We're like, I just want you to like fucking break for 1 second, so
give me 2 seconds and I can beat the shit out of you.
Oh, So I really appreciate a good bug sometimes. Mm-hmm. I haven't really had anything too crazy. Like, I remember when I played Assassin's Creed Unity, everyone was talking about that game. Like, people's faces were being
ripped. The face bug was hilarious.
Yeah, man. I never had any of that stuff, which I was bummed about. Like, I wish I had more of that kind of stuff sometimes. Yeah,
that one was pretty good. Because it was just so haunting.
Yeah, so awful, dude. Like, I was like, why do they look like that possibly? How could that happen?
Well, I don't know.
I remember too, when I played Doom, or not Doom, Rage 2, like a really weird audio bug where I could only read the subtitles because there was no audio, and that happened like a bunch during the game.
Mm.
But
Rage 2 had a lot of issues.
Yeah, Rage 2 was an interesting game. Yeah. An interesting one to discuss. You can go listen to that.
I surprisingly beat that game and have it beat.
Dude, Doom, I actually played a lot of that game for some reason, just because I was like pretty much done. I'm like, I'm going to go do a bunch of the side stuff. It's like, because the game was fun to play, but not a whole lot else going for it, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was the gun combat was really fun.
Anyways, that is all for the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. I just want to say again, I hate that stupid spider. I hate it so much. I don't think I've ever... I'll never be as frustrated at a boss than I probably will with that one. Just for the fact that I had to do it again.
Just because you had to do something twice.
Yeah. Anyways, please tune in next week when head of PlayStation, Herman Hulst, comes on the show to knock some DualSense into us. Anyways.
That was weird hearing, honestly. Herman Hulst, Sean Layden. That was really weird.
Will you acknowledge my pun? Knock some DualSense into us?
Yeah, that was good, but I was like, I was too weird about the Herman Hulst.
Oh, you were expecting
I was expecting Sean Layden.
Yeah. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.